Now it's time for the other one. Anybody liking the rain? No?
Here, I'll come down for you.
Well, this morning, I want to talk about scary things. Is there anything that you're scared of? You scared of anything? Nothing? You want to know what I'm scared of? Bees. I'm scared of bees because they're fast and quick and they can probably sting me before I can get away. Anybody else have anything you're scared of? Not too long, you guys are brave. Good for you. I was scared of lots of things, but I'm still scared of a lot of things. In today's one of the scripture lessons we talked about, Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. Do you think lambs are scary? Don't they have like big pointy sharp teeth or something like that? No? So you're not afraid of lambs, right? So, when Jesus is talking about feeding my lambs, he's talking about lambs, he's actually talking about young children, just like you guys. And when he says feed my lambs, he's saying, what he means is, tell the young children about me, about Jesus. Do you think it's scary to tell your friends about Jesus? Would you be scared to tell your friends about Jesus? No? That's good. And then later he says, feed my sheep. A sheep, you know, lamb is little. Right? Did you ever feed a lamb at like a petting zoo or something like that? You can feed them corn and whatnot. Well, he says later on, feed my sheep. Sheep are the big ones. Are you afraid of sheep? I am. I'm afraid they might step on my foot. Well, when he's talking about sheep, he's talking about full grown adults. Look at those guys out there. They're kind of scary, aren't they? He's talking about feed my sheep, feed the adults. He's talking about telling adults about Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we can be afraid to talk to other people about Jesus Christ. Because, for various reasons, but, you know, they're not that scary looking. Some of them are pretty good looking. So, remember, never be afraid to talk about Jesus to your friends. Because they need to know. I mean, Jesus has so much love for you, right? He loves you so much, and you need to share that love with other people because they need to share that love too. Okay? Well, let's pray about this. Well, Lord Jesus, you know, sometimes we are afraid to talk to our friends about you. And we're sorry for that. But Lord, we know that you love us so much, and there's so much of that love to go around it. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to share that love with our friends and our relatives and people that we love. That they would know you too. We pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, thank you. Are there treats over there by the Paco? Tyler?
The leader of a men's group was discussing how weird people are in elevators. Not our men's group, but I definitely could see this conversation happening at one of our meetings. Anyway, you know how it is on a crowded elevator? You get on, and you know, it's quiet as a tomb. Several floors later, you realize that, you know, everybody's standing in the same direction and not a word has been spoken all the way up. Almost everyone conforms to this cultural norm. Almost. Well, several years ago, we were going up the elevator in the Empire State Building, and I took it upon myself to instruct everyone in the elevator to hold their nose and swallow. Now, try that now if you're there. It's not a very good idea to be doing that when you're going up in an elevator. But right away, I said, no, don't do that, I'm just kidding. You know, we all had a good laugh in the elevator, but pretty quickly we went all back to staring at the numbers above the door. Sociologist and preacher Tony Campola got on an elevator one time, and he realized that everybody was standing like statues behind him. So he turned and faced everyone and led them in a chorus of, you are my sunshine. But then, you know, Tony's probably braver than most of us. Anyway, the leader of this men's group was asking his listeners to use an elevator ride as an opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission and to evangelize others. If people will remain silent in an elevator, he said, staring at the floor numbers. He challenged the men in the group to use their imagination. He asked, what do you suppose Jesus would say to the people in an elevator? There was an immediate response from someone in the back who said, going up? Well, by now you should be getting an idea of what the message is going to be about today. No, we're not going to talk about elevator stories, and we're not going to talk about the different plants sheep like to eat in the pasture, or that their diet should be supplemented with grain and protein. Although that metaphor would work pretty well with the passage from John 21. Today I want to talk about 3 points. 1, what Jesus asks of us. 2, the natural fear we all have of talking to others about Jesus. And 3, what do we tell them when we have the chance? So you may have wondered originally about all those scriptures, 4 scriptural lessons from today. And they are basically the last words of Jesus recorded in the 4 Gospels before he ascended into heaven. I think it's pretty telling just what Jesus has to say right before he heads up to heaven. In Matthew, we have what is commonly called the Great Commission, where he tells us to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and telling them about Jesus and his teachings. And in Mark, we see the same instructions, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In Luke, Jesus tells the disciples, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the 3rd day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So he's basically telling them, this is the prophecy, and you guys are going to be the start of witnessing or telling the nations about it. In these first 3 Gospels, Jesus is telling us what he expects of his believers is that we tell others about his love, about his story of repentance and forgiveness, and how we can be reconciled to God through Jesus and only through Jesus. Ask yourself this question. Have I ever felt I should talk to a certain person about my faith, but I was too afraid to say something? Maybe I just excused it away as saying the timing wasn't right, or the condition for the conversation wasn't ideal. Maybe I was afraid they would think I was a nut, a Jesus freak. I know that's happened to me on more than one occasion, more than I care to admit. If you've ever hesitated and failed to tell somebody about Jesus, someone who desperately needs to know, what now? Are you doomed as a failure, as a denier? Let's take a look at the passage in John about feeding sheep. Now, this is a very poignant scene. When I read this, I can really feel Peter's pain, his regret, his sorrow, even grief at failing Jesus. I can sense that there's a depth of failure deep in the pit of Peter's stomach. But I can also sense that there is a depth of his love for Jesus, and Jesus for Peter. And even though Peter loved Jesus very deeply, he failed Jesus when it mattered, didn't he? Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And so Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me? 3 times Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And 3 times Jesus responds with instructions for Peter. First, feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, and finally, feed my sheep. In the NIV Bible, there's a heading at the start of this particular passage that reads, Jesus reinstates Peter. Kind of a simple title, but oh so important. Here we have hope. Hope that when we fail Jesus, when we deny him, Jesus offers us reinstatement. As Peter says, he knows we love him. He also understands our feelings, our fears, our failures. And he offers us another chance. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. But how do we overcome this natural fear of sharing our faith with others? And if we do overcome the fear and tell someone, what do we tell them? Well, to get this discussion started, we're going to watch a music video by a group called Level 316. And the name of the video is Tell Them. I'm going to set this up for you a little bit as I start the TV. You're going to see, when we start it off, you're going to see a group, a church group,
probably a group of leaders in the church, ministry leaders, talking about their different ministries. And there's a young man in the video named Chris who is obviously struggling. There's an internal struggle going on. When the music video starts, you're going to see two Chris's. You're going to see a spirit Chris who understands that this, the message needs to be given. He understands, and he's trying to tell the other Chris, which is the flesh Chris, tell him about Jesus. And the flesh Chris is struggling with sin and struggling with denying himself and trying to stay, you know, of the world, in it and of the world. The flesh Chris wants to stay of the world. He wants to be part of the things of the world.
Yo.
So, Chris says, I find myself battling myself. I hear my spirit talking to me, but my flesh isn't trying to hear it. This is the internal battle. Our spirit knows what Jesus asks of us. We know what we should be doing, but our flesh is still trying to be of this world. Spirit, Chris says, go and share the gospel with his people. They need you. Share the love of God with them and pray that they receive you. Flesh, Chris says, man, I can't. I can't. How often have we felt that call to share? And how often have we uttered those words of defeat? I can't. Those are powerful words of denial. Two very simple words. Yet when strung together, in that context, they infer so many powerful and complex emotions. Fear, struggle, rejection, pain, regret. Then when Spirit Chris says, what do you mean you can't? The Lord is with you. Flesh Chris admits that he is struggling with physical sin. Even though he knows that God is with him, he feels inadequate to tell others about Christ because he's struggling with his own sin. You know, we're all struggling with sin. If we could overcome the sin in our lives on our own, we wouldn't need Jesus to pay the price for our sin. If even one person other than Jesus could live a sinless life, then others could too. But it's not possible. Even Paul suffered from this internal struggle. Listen to his words in Romans 7, 21 to 25, and this is from the New Living Translation. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. This is from Paul. And so many times I have turned to that passage to comfort me when I feel that way. And I thank Paul for writing those words down. So Spirit Chris reminds Flesh Chris that Christ paid the price for the sin, for our sin. The very same thing Paul tells us in Romans 7. Yes, we sin. We can't escape it. But we can escape the penalty of sin through Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to tell others about Jesus. Because we sin and are saved from the penalty, we need to show others that they too can escape the penalty. Not that they can live a sin-free life, but that they can be free from the ultimate penalty of sin. Spirit Chris reminds us that the world isn't going to believe the good news if we're not out there living it and talking about it. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word, which is Christ. So I think from this we should now know that struggling with our own sin is not a valid reason for not sharing the good news. In fact, it's probably the best reason for doing so. Not that we're proud of our sin, like some twisted badge of honor, but that we can relate to others through our sin and help them find the way to Jesus and redemption. So how do we overcome the fear of rejection? And when we do, what do we tell them? Well, next week, part two, we're going to talk about some real-life strategies for ways to talk with others about your faith. How to initiate conversations in a natural way and move them to the next level. We're going to talk about what to tell. But for now, let me just leave you with these words from the chorus of the song, Tell Them. And let this be our closing prayer. Let them know the deal, Chris. Tell them how it feels, Chris. Let them know the cost to follow Christ. Demand some realness. Tell him about the price he paid. Tell him about the lives he saved. Dying on that rugged cross on Calvary for heaven's sake. Tell him about his gentleness. Tell him about his patience. Tell him about his everlasting love that conquers hatred. Tell him about his faithfulness. Tell him about his greatness. Go ahead, Chris. Tell him, Chris. Man, don't keep them waiting. Our benediction today comes from Romans 1, 16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.